Hey, this is Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 28. I was a teenage Donald J. Trump. After the message. Hey, welcome back to Chris Cast, episode 28, season 2, titled I Was a Teenage Donald J. Trump. So, here's what I remember. I remember that my best friend in high school was named David Psyche, and we're estranged now because I must have done him some wrong that is so incalculable that we will never be friends again. But back in the day, we were chums. We were besties. I moved closer and away from him based on where I was in my relationship to other people and other things. But senior year, Dave and I decided that it would be really funny to see if I could win student body president of St. Louis School. It was an absurd goal because, firstly, St. Louis School is a football school. Secondly, it's a locals first school, which is to say Howley is pretty much an extreme minority there. I would say my graduating class, according to my memory, was like 225, and there were 7 Howleys in the class. Thirdly, I was not very popular. I was not very cool. I liked to say that I dipped my toe into many pools, but the truth was that I was sort of an outsider, and now that I see the kind of insularism, the kind of autonomy, the kind of not intentional antisocialness, but the introversion that I have, you know, I just didn't put the time in towards loving on people to really become central to anybody's narrative at my class of 88. So, I don't know. I was just a dupe, right? Like, this was David Psyche's genius idea. He was the maestro. I give him full responsibility or full credit for making me student body president. All I know is that I had one extremely masterful speech, and it went to my head for my entire career, thinking that if I just jotted a few lines, a few reminders, if you will, a short bulleted list of points that I would talk about, I could speak to anyone about anything. That was further pressed by the fact that debate in terms of speech and debate is all prep, but it really is. When you are in debates, it is very much an on-your-feet kind of thing. I find that my gift for the gab and my ability to talk to anybody and my ability to talk on any subject, whether or not I have any training or experience or right to speak about anything, is probably world-class. But aside from that, it was really David Psyche's game. I mean, he made these beautiful caricature portraits of me looking and dressed like Abraham Lincoln. The entire school was covered by poster boards with witty caricatures of me with my big cheeks and my big nose and my soft chin and wearing stovepipe hats what was the saying? Something like, do not tell a lie. I don't remember, but they were all brilliant. And the speech, I just said anything that I thought could get me elected. I mean, I said, I knew that I was like pandering. I spent the entire talk pandering. I didn't really have much skin in the game. I mean, I had been in ROTC and I had been in JROTC, I mean, and I had been in Ranger Club, and I, for a short stint, was a wrestler, and I was captain of the speech and debate team, but I really didn't have that much skin in the game. I knew that I would probably never be a proud alumni. I knew that when I left going to the East Coast for whatever college I decided to go to, Hawaii'i would be in my rear view mirror. I even didn't have the best attitude towards local kind stuff. I had a girlfriend who was Hapa Haole. She was part British and part Hong Kong Chinese, and she also felt like she was something on a stick above Hawaii, and that we were going to leave Hawaii and become famous somewhere. I had aspirations to the Senate. She had aspirations to Broadway and Hollywood. And so I guess if you really don't want anything, you can basically get whatever you want. And I don't remember who I was up against. I was probably up against some really serious, studious person who wanted it so badly, or thought it was their inheritance since they were in student body government for their entire career since seventh grade, national merit scholar, top of the class, 4.0 plus all AP classes, sort of this entitlement of meritocracy that has nothing to do with democracy. Meritocracy and democracy are different systems. So, I was voted in. And, like Trump, the moment I was in, the administration knew that I was probably a terrible choice and actually went out of their way to impeach me. This might be controversial, but who the hell listens to this? My mom was in on the controversy. You know, what mom says is true, is that Mrs. Naliololo Kopiapia, who was the senior advisor, I believe she did a conspiracy. One of my requirements was that I attend all student body functions. So, for example, it was finally during my senior year that I did the school exchange and realized that I'd made a very bad decision by not transferring to Punahou, because Punahou is basically like going to Oxford, and I would have been able to go to Oxford, if you will, from 7th to 12th grade. Now I know why a lot of people, when they graduate Punahou, don't even go to college. I mean, they can get into any college they want, but, you know, kudos. You don't even need to go to college after Punahou. Anyway, did all those kinds of things and then did this amazing retreat. And I had a car, I had a putty-colored manual Golf. It was not called a Golf, it was called a Rabbit. And taking a bunch of kids to go there, and one kid stopped me and wanted me to, he was a plant, man. He had a 6-pack or a 12-pack of beer, and like, he was like, "Hey, Chris, hey, hey, why don't we put this in your car and get it onto the retreat, you know, place," which was, of course, a monastery or something like that. And honestly, the moment we even tried to get onto the campus, there was someone right there who busted me for it. And I didn't drink at anything. I only drank ever at all when my JROTC buddies, you know, we would drink before we went to school dances. But I was not someone who drank on my own. I was not someone who drank every day. I was not someone who drank on the weekends with his buddies. And I didn't smoke any pot. So it would have never occurred to me to sneak beer into a retreat. I'm actually a spiritual person. It would be antithetical to do that. So I was completely, the bitch set me up. So anyway, I got deposed, which was okay because my VP was Chuck. All I could think of is Charles Among, but it wasn't Chuck. It was my, turns out to be, I never knew. I only knew him as a smart kid who lifted weights. Anyway, he became student body president. And since there's really no official channels, I mean, my application for university was in no way, you know, at all hurt by the fact that I was impeached as president for bringing beer that was planted on me to a retreat. So it allowed me to say I was voted student body president, which is not a lie. And it allowed Chuck, I'll remember it, Charles Norton. It allowed him to also apply, saying that he was student body president of St. Louis. So there were all kinds of other terrible things that we did when I was impeached, such as the student body office. My buddy Dave Psyche went ahead and drew caricatures all over the office. And when I was impeached, we were told to repaint the office. And of course, what occurred to us after being impeached was doing the same thing that someone who's impeached does when they leave the White House. What we did is we used white paint to cover every square inch of that entire room, including tables, chairs, desks, and telephones. So I wish we had photos. It was a room in white. It was an art. It was an objet d'art. So I was a teenage Donald Trump. So I totally get how this works. I totally get that people do not understand bullshitters and storytellers and, you know, talking story Lorette and just saying stuff and trying to be charming and weaving webs. And, you know, when you are that kid who feels like, you know, the guy I completely, and I knew it was a guy, this is not gender stuff because I went to an all-boys Catholic school. The guy who I totally dunked on, who I completely don't remember, maybe it was Charles Among, I don't know. Charles Norton. I don't think it was Charles Norton. Did I have a VP? Did I choose a VP? Charles Norton was my buddy, right? So he was obviously in my administration and my VP, or he could have been the guy I went against. Anyway, nothing against the guy, But whoever was trying to beat me at student body president, and to be honest, this is a good story because maybe that person says, Chris Abraham, he is my arch enemy, or is he Chris Abraham, he's my arch nemesis, or he is my anti-hero, and I'm the hero of my own story, and oh, shake the fist at Chris Abraham. I don't remember you at all, buddy. Doesn't freaking matter. It was just a lark. Like I ran for student body president with as much interest in being student body. It wasn't even a desire to have something cool for my application for college. It was just a prank that David Psyche and I decided to perpetrate in a sort of living art, sort of like what this podcast is. It's a living art project. My entire life. That's why I don't bring any children or any wives into my, or husbands or partners or anything into my merry prankster life, because unless you completely realize that I live my life as if it's some sort of art project, then you won't understand me. And it's not even a good art project. I mean, nobody cares but me. And maybe, you know, Mark Harrison cares about my art project. And Matt, you care about my art project. But that's it. Anyway. So, yeah. So, I totally get the guy. I totally get what drives him. I totally get why the petty people who are... spent their entire life committed to becoming president one day, a very fragile castle of cards, a house of cards, every card, you know, perfect from undergrad at Harvard College to law degree from Yale to PhD from Princeton to making every right decision and never doing anything untoward and showing every woman and mother and child and person so much deference and respect. And then, you know, it turns out that the 6'3" blonde young god of a man steals it from you when you just happen to be small and skinny and short and boring and not charming and not funny and super serious with no sense of humor and completely beta, Charlie Delta, male. It's just, you know, it's just shit happens, man. And half the time people, all the gotchas on Trump tend to be things that when I listen to the entire speech that it's associated with is him just talking shit to amuse his people. And none of which... like, you know, I don't remember I think I do still have the paper that I wrote on. That's my only memorabilia of that. And the strong memory of spending a day going to Punahou, which makes me believe that no matter how much Punahou school costs to go to, it's not remotely enough. I mean, it should be at least $60,000 a year to attend. It's so good. Anyway, love St. Louis, no problem. Mrs. Caniopio, is that her name? Mrs. Caniopio, I think was her name. Big Zoftig lady, Omau Kau Kau, very Hawaiiana, very Ohana, boys of St. Louis. Mrs. Caniopio, is that her name? Anyway. So I kind of have, I guess, a soft spot in my heart for a big blonde doofus who just says whatever he can to prove people that he can, prove to people that he can, or prove that no matter how hard you work, if you're not over 6 feet tall, have tendencies towards being an alpha male, and and, you know, just like. Trump's very existence in the world is to show you that life isn't fair and that you can't earn anything through merit. You have to earn things through charm and cunning and a lot of bullshitting. So that's my story. I think Matt's going to really appreciate this one. And I'll talk to you soon. I'll tell you the story about Punahou later. I'll tell you the story about wrestling later. I'll tell you the story about ROTC Rangers later. I'll tell you the story about going to school dances later. Remind me, please. If you, otherwise, I'll forget. Talk to you guys soon. Mahalo. And talk to you after the messages. Bye.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, as a post-podcast note, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the fallout after I made all kinds of promises that I couldn't fulfill, such as surf club and all kinds of other stuff, was nothing. Like my foil was I would go to Mrs. Kuniao Pio, and I would be like, we want to start a surf club. And they would say, we can start a surf club. And then I would go back to my, I would just go back and I said, well, I made all these promises. And in my heart, the promises were good. But when I went to Senate and I went to Congress, they voted me down. So I'm sorry that I don't have, if you will, sorry that I don't have executive orders for St. Louis High School, but all the promises that I made to you were made in the best of faith, and yet the administration, the man, the oppressor of St. Louis School is going to keep me down. And don't worry, I did not make my speech in Pidgin. I wasn't going panda that much, but maybe I should have said, to my fellow St. Louis brothers, I going get you the kind surf team and going get you the kind good food at the kind cafeteria, and we going go and it's going be good and you know a lot of that. But I don't believe that that would have won me the presidency either. So yeah, I totally get this guy. Like, I mean, I'm not nearly the man that this guy is. I mean, geez. That's another thing. Like, the thing I love about Trump is that he did not make this big reveal. I mean, my nickname in high school was Duga. Like, these kids went to school with me from seventh grade. Like, there was no grade before seventh grade. These kids had known me. I was no carpetbagger. I was the howly kid who kept to himself, hung out with the nerds, was fat until he was 16, then got skinny and hot, and was in ROTC, which is not a cool thing to do, and was a wrestler and got injured. Like, these kids knew me better than I knew myself, because I didn't know myself very well at all, right? There was enough people who took a notice and an interest in me. It was not a big school, right? There was about 225 kids in each class, right? So that was, 1,500 total in all classes, maybe less. And, you know, that's not that many people to not be aware of, especially when there's no girls, right? It's all dudes. So I even think there was that many kids. I don't know. So, I mean, people knew who I was. They knew I was a geek. They knew I was a nerd. They knew I was a doofus. My nickname was Duga. Wasn't until college when anybody thought I was cool and gave me, like, fraternity pledge names like Zeus. I mean, they said it was because I was the pig man of the JRTC Rangers and that the M60 machine gun goes dooga, 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 dooga. But honestly, you know, my handle was Dooga because I was Dooga, 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 Dooga. So the fact that, you know, people just voted for me, maybe to see what happens, maybe because they wanted to see what this Howley guy was going to do. Who knows? Like, maybe just for shits and giggles, because they really would rather vote for me than a freaking nerd who, like, National Merit Scholar kid. Like, who would vote for someone like that? Like, basically nobody in any school likes the kid who, you know, is an AP, who calls you a freaking jock or stupid burnout. Nobody likes that kid. Even worse, in my high school, you graduate with a Lei, L-E-I, and the kids in National Merit Scholar kids had, I think, a yellow stripe in their Lei. I mean, the Leis were red and blue, which is our school colors. You know, who likes those kids? And to this day, nobody likes wonks. I mean, frick, the only people who like wonks or other wonks. The only people who like nerds or other nerds. There's no crossover appeal. Yeah, schools now are different, and people love, like, the coolest people, according to 21 Jump Street, the revival, is, you know, that the kids who have both their straps on their shoulders and who protect the weaklings from the bullies and so forth are the new jocks. And, you know, there's a bunch of lore about how, but I only think that that's for the elite schools. I think, you know, the Choates and the Punahous and so forth have always been more compassionate, more want to be the social justice warrior, where the smartest kids going to Princeton are the most popular. But in public schools and in, like, parochial schools, at my school especially, my school, St. Louis School, is now K-12. And the only reason it's K-12 is because they want to start grooming kids for the NFL earlier than 7th grade. They want to be able to groom kids from kindergarten. We have a huge amount. We're a total feeder school for NFL. Like, we probably are competitive with Texas in terms of feeders for football. My school is never going to think nerds are cool. So this is my addendum, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Okay, now you can have another break, and then we'll go into the closing credits. Talk to you soon. Mahalo. Mahalo nui loa. Aloha kako. And I think I got her name. Mrs. Nakumakumaka. Mrs. Kaniaupio. Haniaupio. Kaniaupio. Charles Norton. David Psyche. Oh, shout out to my other friends. James Chan. Love that guy. I wish I started a band with him. Love that guy so much. My mom adored James Chan. James Chan was the coolest kid, and I wish he influenced me more, because he was the kid who was, like, watching My Dinner with Andre. And then there was Miles Maeda, who has now become a global celebrity in the yoga and DJ world. DJ Maeda. And there was Roy Ban and Billy Tabuyo. Loved those kids in elementary school. There was Chuck Norton. Two people I had who were my super big brothers that I loved desperately were two of my role models, and I would be nothing without them, are Charles Among and also Charles and just completely lost my head. I cannot. Eric O. E-R-I-C-O-H. And of course, To this day, I really need to give her more love and more time. The beautiful and amazing Emmy Louis and Jeffrey Miyahara, that guy was awesome. And Peter Court, I wonder where he went. I love that guy. Oh my God, Peter Court was the best. I remember, I'll tell you some stories about Peter Court and my JROTC Ranger stuff and when I went out to USC to visit him. And was I visiting Georgina too? I don't remember. Anyway, enough of this. This is too long. Talk to you soon. Aloha, mahalo, ciao. Welcome back to episode 28, season 2 of ChrisCast. My name is Chris Abraham. You can reach me at my podcasting HQ, which is anchor.fm/ChrisAbraham. I think that you can fund me at anchor.fm/ChrisAbraham/support. And I believe it's anchor.fm/ChrisAbraham/message is where you can leave me a voicemail, maybe. And my real HQ is abraham.su, www.chrisabraham.com. You can email me at chris@abraham.su. You can text me at +1 202 352 5051, or you can call me at 202-352-5051. But I will also do an episode on the fact that I never answer calls at all that I don't recognize and who don't leave an exhaustive message on Google Voice for me to read. So enunciate. Because I share the phone number out everywhere, so it's definitely lots of spam has got it. You can reach me at LinkedIn on linkedin.com/in/ChrisAbraham, facebook.com/ChrisAbraham, youtube.com/ChrisAbraham, at Chris Abraham on Instagram, at Chris Abraham on Twitter, and on No Agenda Social, you can reach me at Chris. Anyway, thank you for listening all the way through. Thank you for being my only listener, Matt, and I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.